gentlemen. My name is Ken Fallon, and I'm just missed a train here at Og Camp 11. But that's no reason not to do an interview. And we've got one of our own, Chris Findlay, from, and he's here to talk to us about
Software Freedom Day in Dundee.
What is Software Freedom Day?
Software Freedom Day for us is a chance to introduce free software to people that don't normally come along to these events like Og Camp and things like that, don't necessarily know what free software is. So we try to introduce them to that in an easy manner with some light introduction talks through a morning. Not just to do with Linux itself, but to do Windows free software, alternatives to proprietary software that are free, things like that.
And what would make somebody come to that event if they're not going to go to Og Camp?
It's a mainly a local event, so people locally would come around to a local event. The events, Software Freedom Day is not a single one event in our own location. It's held worldwide.
Yeah.
Lots of different people do different things for it, even if it's just passing out CDs or doing a series of talks like we've been doing. And it happens every year on this 17th of September this year. Third Saturday of the month.
Where's it going to be held in Dundee?
We're holding it at the Hannah McClure Centre above the Abertay Students' Union on Bell Street.
So your target audience, I guess, would be students with it, or the main general community in Dundee?
Preferably our target would be the general community. It happens to be, last year it was arranged the same day as Open House Day, so which where some places open up their own the buildings for people, the public, to come in and have a look around, which quite tightly coincides quite nicely. So you get a lot of people coming in who wouldn't normally have come in.
Perfect.
And they've not actually come in for Software Freedom Day, but they walk in the door. There's a few people
around,
and we introduce it to them, and they're very receptive.
Excellent. I was in a taxi last night, as you do, and the taxi driver just couldn't get his head around the fact that people would write software for no cost and give it to the community. You know, how do you, you know, people are so ingrained in paying for software now, how do you convince them that this is good, this is, how do you get the whole concept of software freedom across to them?
One thing we tried to do is make sure that they realise that although the software, people have a very big stigma that anything that's there's nothing in this life comes for free.
Yep.
And they're right enough, it doesn't come for free, and free software doesn't mean free either. It's the cost of free software is getting involved in the community and giving back to the community.
And the moral obligation.
The moral obligation that's there, yeah. That's the cost we have. So we tried to introduce them and say that this software is here, you can talk to people about it. If you need help with it, help support from it, there's people around and communities around that are more than happy to help you do these things, whether it be a business or professional use.
Yeah.
We also introduced them that they actually already use free software.
Yeah.
You know, things like Mozilla Firefox. A lot of people are picking up OpenOffice now as an alternative to some of the proprietary ones.
And you, I suppose you have different hooks for different how far down people are on a particular software track.
Of course, yeah, definitely. I mean, you're going to deal with people who in a business want software for different reasons than someone who's sitting at home dealing with software. I mean, one of the things we try to do is address all those different areas at whichever level. I mean, training's always been an issue for businesses.
Yep.
And they always worry that the cost of swapping to like an open office,
yes,
that the training's the big cost. And they're worried about that, although there's no licensing cost. But what we found is open office looking more like the older version of Office makes it a lot easier,
yes,
because the new version confuses them and they don't have to retrain it anyway.
Yep.
As far as persuading them that it is okay and it's good software is we show them it in live in action. We've got live demos running all day with different OpenOffice, Firefox and different music MIDI inputs. We also do a virtualization one which teaches for business, showing businesses that virtualization is something they can do.
Oh, very good. And what sort of people come in during the day?
We've had a lot of different people coming in during the day, including people from all age groups, from 13, 14 to all the way up to 70, 80, 90, all very receptive to it. I actually found a lot of the older crowd found it easier to understand what we were talking about because they didn't have the precursor of using a
preconception
of
not that
you have to pay for it and the preconception of how something should already work.
Yes.
People transitioning from, say, Mac OS or Windows already have a pre-idea of how they manage to achieve what they want to achieve.
Yeah.
And when you introduce something like the Linux desktop, that it'd be GNOME or KDE or that. They find out, wait, where's this button? Why is this button not here?
Yeah.
And we kind of try and say, look, here, we'll show you how it is. It is just as easy to use. It just takes a little bit of time to...
Do you not run the risk of becoming the support person for somebody?
Yes, definitely. Support's a very big key, and that is part of it. And I think we do get people coming back to us time and time again looking for questions and support. And you, the best thing to do is to try and give them some support, but in a way that they learn themselves. So instead of directly showing somebody exactly what they need to do something, you kind of lead them through it and actually get them to do to actually fix it.
Yeah.
And they find they learn better that way and can then teach someone else to do that.
Yeah, a lot of education involved. And
very much
more
so,
than just handing a CD. So what would you advise if somebody's living somewhere and felt that they wanted to do something for Software Freedom Day?
I think if anybody could do something for Software Freedom Day, be it, there's a great CD called the Open CD. It has like OpenOffice, it's got, I think, Firefox and a flow of other really good open source applications all in one CD, both for Windows and for Linux. You can easily burn a few copies of that at home, go out, hand it out to people in the street, tell them about it, promote it that way.
And people are a bit suspect of, especially self-burned CDs and viruses and all the rest of it.
You'd be surprisingly, no, I don't think they are. And
which
in
is
a,
very
in
sad,
a really sad
it?
Way, yeah. It's quite unfortunate. People, you hand somebody something, they go, it's free, great. And it's quite, you'd think they'd be more suspect about it. But I think the general public don't have this whole idea of security. They don't realise as much that there is problems with these, can be problems with these things. And they're quite respectful. I mean, there was a good story a while back in a school in America where a kid was doing exactly that. He was handing out CDs during the school, and he got the teacher pulled him aside, took him to the headmaster's office and tried to get him suspended from school, saying he was selling CDs. He said, I'm not selling them, they're free, they're giving away. He said, you don't get anything for free in this world, you can't do that, you can't give away CDs, it's illegal. Which of course wasn't true.
Yes,
it was all open source software, perfectly free to distribute.
But that's an education thing, I guess.
Yes.
And just because the teachers doesn't mean they can't learn.
But I mean, one thing I always want to make sure people understand is that there is a big community behind it, and a big community of people willing to help, willing to spend a lot of time and showing people what to do.
Yeah.
Another good thing we do as well, if you are into open source software and you get maybe some of the magazines and stuff, what we quite often do is go out and what we call it seeding, and hand out magazines, just drop them off in places where you normally find magazines, like dentists and things like that.
I've been known to do that myself.
It's good fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
We almost had a league table for that, but it was getting a bit sad. But yeah, I think they can hold events as well. I mean, all you need to do is find a coffee shop, put up a few flyers around places, and say, "Look, come along and meet us. We'll talk to you about free software." And you'd be surprised that people turn up.
Okay, what website would you advise people to go to if they're interested?
If you find out more information, Software Freedom Day would be at the Software Freedom Day site, which is softwarefreedomday.org.
Don't worry, they'll. Obviously, we're at a train station here waiting for a train, so the link will be in the show notes for this episode.
That has been updated to the website address. Please go to http://sfd.the-os.org.uk.
So I guess now is the time to start planning for this event.
We've been planning the event for quite a while now, yeah. For the last 2-3 months, we've already started planning. This year we have, I think, up to possibly 13 talks planned this year.
Wow.
It's starting, as I say, initially starting on the What is Software Freedom Day.
Yeah.
And myself doing a talk on what is Android, where it's come from and what it's about. And then we move further into more technical talks as the evening goes on, which things like of last year we had how to hack voice over IP,
mm-hmm.
and how the security issues with the protocol for that, which is a bit technical. We had things on OpenStreetMap and stuff as well.
Yeah.
And we've even had talks on Blender for doing your own 3D software and things. And it works really well.
Yeah, excellent. Well, thanks very much for the talk.
Thanks, Phil.
And look forward to hearing more about the event after the show. Feel free to send us over some talks for Syndicated Thursday. Okay,
thank you
very much, Chris.
The URL again is http://sfd.the-os.org.uk. Software Freedom Day is on tomorrow, so please go do something to promote software freedom. Go and record a HPR episode. I'm getting sick of hearing Ken all the time.
You've been listening to You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Share Alike, 3.0 license.